Hallelujah. How was our day? Let's respond. How was our day? How was our day? How was work today? Who's talking? How was work today? Who's talking? It was good. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like God has preached himself to us today. The whole duty of man is to find yourself hidden. You know, that's how the sun, figuratively, the scorching sun of this earth, that's the only way it will not smite you. That's the only way you would not feel the pressure every other person is feeling. It's because you have hidden yourself under the shadow of the what? Of the Almighty. I'm sure Pure Streams will cut out this song, Abby. You cut out this worship. Because it's not easy to pray. If I think they've been doing that, cutting out our worship moment. You know, go and use this song to be fully assured that none of your life is outside this shadow of the Almighty. Yeah. So that the life that you are going to now live is going to be a sponsored life. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's just read the scripture where the song, why is Rida laughing? Where the song came from. I said I can't sing the song, so let me read the scripture. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my what? Fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So you can see that there's now assurance. There's now assurance. So whatsoever looks like a snare, that's like a trap. Or whatsoever looks like perilous pestilence. It says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So it will be your protector and your defense. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Now, this is the assurance of verse 1, right? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. So you can see that when things are happening, you know, all around you, you don't need to fear because you are under the shadow of the Almighty. It says when arrows are flying during the day, you shouldn't be afraid. It says when pestilence is walking around, you shouldn't be afraid. When destruction is happening, and it is with our eyes like this, you are seeing people's life go to waste. People's investment go to waste. Things people have labored for all their years. It says that you shouldn't be afraid. Ah, this is where he also said 1,000, right? 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your most assured side. But it shall not, you know, it's like when 1,000 falls beside you, but when it gets too close to you, you say, even when 10,000 is, like you are so sure that you are the next victim, it says it will not come near you. It says only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
Amen.
For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
Amen.
You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is all happening because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, Father, we thank you as we go into your word. Teach us, O God. Speak to our hearts. Bless us again. Yes, Lord. We ask for your blessing again. We know you are here. Not just to bless us, but to fellowship with us. And because when you fellowship with us, your presence is here, your glory comes. And when your glory is made manifest, blessings come to us. Thank you, Father. We are ready to be blessed, O God. Teach us, O God. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This evening I have a word from the Lord for us. And I want us to listen carefully. But most importantly, I want us to learn from the scriptures what God is saying to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should have a short moment today, but let's just see. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Today we'll be looking at the faithful steward, and I'm picking this from the last point I made on Sunday, which is how to remain blessed. We said stewardship is the path to remain being blessed, or to being blessed, or to always remain blessed. Stewardship. And so we'll be looking at faithful steward. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 24. Let's start from verse 45. Do we have people joining us online? Please help welcome everyone that is listening to us. It says, who then is a faithful... Tolu, is this okay? Okay, thank you. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his father made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? He says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Can we read verse 46 together? No, just 46. Thank you. Assuredly, you can go to 47. Assuredly, I say to you that it will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant, please just follow the teacher. God will teach us something here tonight. But it's not even about, it's not just about what we would know now. It's about the many things God has been teaching us, how God would help us to find it useful here. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're not teaching anything new. It's to bring the many things, the compendium of different teachings or different teachings that God has given to us, and find it practicable or practical in the life that was lived in this scripture. It says, but if that evil servant, so there's an evil servant, there is a faithful and wise servant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So 46 says, faithful and what? And wise servant. 45. Just put it there. You can go back to 46. Faithful and what? Wise servant. Then 48 says what? Evil servant. So if you're not faithful and wise, you are an evil servant. Now, he's not saying that be a wise servant. If you are a faithful servant, you would have been a wise servant. You would have made a wise decision. You know, just the same way he said in Matthew, I can't remember the exact place, but he says, anyone that does this, my saying, is a wise one. You remember that place when he taught for like 3 scriptures, and then he was saying that the wind, the flood, and the rain would come, right? He says, but everyone who hears the saying of mine, who hears the saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. So he's saying, because you did all that he said, you are a what? You are a wise man. So I'm using that same inference, that because you are faithful, or you are a faithful servant, you are a wise servant. You have chosen a wise path. Hallelujah. Is that fine?
Yes, sir.
So let's go to 48 again. Go to 48. So, but if that evil servant is in his heart saying, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. No, we didn't finish that one. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can we quickly read 45 to 51 in Amplified? Quickly. Thank you, Jesus. So don't forget, I said there is the faithful and the wise servant, and there is the evil servant. So choose this day whom. When I was growing up, womb was very, you know, when we're learning, is it preposition? It's preposition. Where's Gabriel? When you say which, where? Please, so. The person that said pronoun, be careful, dear. Please. It's not pronoun. Even if you don't know anything, it should not be pronoun. Pronoun is he, him, she, I, ah. Even this day, have you heard someone declare, I am a womb? At least you know they've been saying, what's your pronoun? Nobody has said, I am a womb or I am a where. So you know that it's not it's not pronoun. But I don't know, maybe, is it preposition?
Yes.
It's preposition. No, it's not. It's pronoun. We are sorry. I apologize on behalf of humanity. The person, who said pronoun? You'd have told me it's married. Oh God. Even if it was wrong, we say yes, it's right. I didn't quickly know that Mary B was sitting there. If it's anything Mary B tells us is correct. It's correct. You can clap, please clap, so that our sacrifice can be accepted. We are, Mary B, we are honestly sorry. I'm an engineer, I'm sorry. You know, that's the excuse we always use to speak bad English. Say, I'm an engineer. Who says engineer should not know correct English? So choose this day whom you would be, whether it's a faithful and wise servant or an evil servant. But we'll see what... Now, it was stated there how the evil servant behaved. But I wouldn't need to say that this is who an evil servant is. Once we're able to understand who a faithful steward is, you can put the opposite of all those things to determine who an evil servant is. You know, one thing to note is, if you wouldn't be accorded that adjective or that description of being faithful, then you would be categorized as an evil servant. Now, it's not first that you had evil intentions. You only did what is best in your eyes. You know, when he says, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We raise the dead in your name. Now, what is it? It says, depart from me, ye what? Workers of iniquity. So it's not even about, oh, like, what was the parameter of judging them as workers of iniquity? Because they said they cast out demons in his name. They raised the dead in his name. It says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But don't go there. Because that's another scripture entirely. But I think this scripture is sufficient for us today. There's also another place that might be useful. But if time doesn't permit, we might not get there. So it says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has put in charge? Can you say in charge?
In charge.
Of his household to give the others in the house. Can you say in the house?
In the house.
Now, this particular one, we deliver a lot of philanthropic people philanthropic people in this house. People that you think, you know, you God has called you to, you're a giver. This line alone. Give to others in the house. You know, I told you sometime where I was seeing, you know, someone post that they need to sponsor some people to one program. And I inspired myself that can I sponsor one or two people, but I've forgotten that there are one or two people in the house that needs to be sponsored, not outside the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So give the others in the house their food and supplies at the proper time. Can you say proper time?
Proper time.
Yeah. I like the Amplified. It made me to quickly see what I was seeing in the NKJV. Like immediately, I just quickly saw it. That's why I'm wanting us to read it together. Verse 46, blessed is that faithful servant when his master returns and finds him doing so. Now, what's he doing? One, he is in charge of the household. Two, you can go back there. Two, he's giving what? To the others in the house. Three, he's doing it at what? The proper time. So he says, verse 46, he says he is blessed. That's the reason for him being blessed. He is blessed because he is doing so. He says he is blessed when his master returns and finds him doing so. I assure you and most solemnly say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant is evil and says in his heart, my master is taking his time, he will not return for a long while, and begins to beat his fellow servant and eat, rather than give, he will eat and drink what he's supposed to give to what is not his. Don't forget, 46 said he's giving what is dear. So he's not giving what is his to them. He's giving what is them to them. What is their own, not what is his own. Just follow, let's follow ourselves as God is leading us tonight. So he says, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour of which he is not aware. 51. And we cut him in two and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. Hallelujah. I want us to read Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 12. But hold on. Just hold on. Just stay. You can switch back to NKJV and stay in 45. Hallelujah. So just put a tab on Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 12. I'll let you know when you should go there. But don't forget what I said firstly, that the servant being faithful has made him wise already. And if he's not a faithful servant, he is an evil servant. Hallelujah. And so, all you have as an individual, and that's I'll go very slow, but I hope that wouldn't even affect the speed at which God wants to communicate with our heart. You know, all that you have, and it's because you have something, right? Let's open James 1:17 and just stay there. All you have, every one of us here, and maybe even those that are not here in like physically, you have something. So when I say all you have, I'm saying you have something. So there is none of us here that is without something. It's given. All you have is given. All you have is given by God. Or I can say all you have is received. So all that you have now, even if it is one thing that you can clearly say that this is what I have. The first thing is you have something. There is none of us that doesn't have what? Something. But all that you have, or that thing that you have, is received. Hallelujah. And it was received from God. Now, if you say you have 20 things, I'm saying all those 20 things is received. There is none of the things that you have that was not received. Hallelujah. I want this to go in first. Everything you have was given to you by the Lord. So James 1:17 says, every good and what? Good gift, and every what? Perfect gift. It's from where? Above. From above. And comes from whom? Father of lights. With whom there is what? No variation or shadow of what? Of turning. Now, there's somebody maybe even asking a question that, even the person that is yet to be saved, does he have anything? Yes. The person that just got saved, he already has. The person that is not yet saved has. That is one thing that makes God a just God. That nobody will say, you didn't do anything for me. And this even transcends, maybe when somebody says, God bless me with a shoe. That's not even where it started from. All that you have is received. The life that you, I mean like this life of breathing, breathing out and all that. You didn't create it yourself. If you consider it a gift, of which it is, I mean the gift of life, is received and is received from God. Right? I can't hear us, right? So it says here that everything that you can consider good, everything that you can consider perfect, or anything that you can consider as a thing worth having, didn't come from you. It came from above, and it came from God. You know, that's what I'm announcing to your spirit man, and even to your soul today, that everything, you know, Bible says in Philemon, it says acknowledging every good thing in us. So there's something in you that can be attributed to a good, or can be categorized as a what? A good gift, or what? A perfect gift. Bible says when you acknowledge it, it says your faith becomes effectual. But I'm not even saying you should acknowledge first. I'm saying that you have something from God. And it was received. You were not self-made. Nobody is self-made. There's actually nothing like that, self-made. There is nothing you know that you didn't receive. And they were all received from God. Hallelujah. Can we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32? Then we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Please don't forget the Matthew chapter 24 that we read. We're going back there. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also what? Freely give us all things. Now this is very simple. He's saying because he gave you Christ. Now that's another gift that you all have. It says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. So that's why I said there's nobody on earth, even the one that is here to acknowledge that gift, that it was given Jesus, it has been given. But he says because he gave son, you also have access to what? To all things. Meaning there are many other things that we have aside from the son that was given to us. I have the Holy Ghost. I have peace. I have joy. I have a good life that is sponsored by Jehovah. You know, so I made there are all those other all things, the ones that were freely what given. I have peace of mind. I have sound health. But don't forget that you didn't create them yourself. You received them. There was a day you received grace. You didn't just appear in grace. There was a day you received your call. There was a grace you received, the anointing that you think you've mastered now. There was a day you were anointingless. Yeah. You were struggling like mere men. There was a day your altar did not have fire. You received fire. See, this is what I'm saying is actually very key to understanding that faithful stewardship. See, if you don't understand that one, you have something, you will be wasting what you think you don't have. Two, if you don't think that you received something, you would think you are all in all. That with you exist. Did you understand what I'm saying? That you can just make the magic again. For example, this is where many people fall into the error where they can waste the resources of God and think in themselves that they can recreate it. Can we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Let's be fast. The journey is still... Verse 6. It says, but this I say to you. Please, let's read this together. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7, we're going to verse 10. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed. Hallelujah. So you can see the sower is not a sower if he has no seed. But now they told us here that it's somebody that gave him the seed. So when you see him rejoicing during harvest, don't think he is all by himself. Someone gave him what? The seed. And what? Bread for what? Bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, if, you know, as a child of God, when you are going into any endeavor, know that your initial capital or the initial energy that you need is God that needs to supply it. Like what you need to begin that endeavor with should be sponsored by God. So he says he will supply seed to the sower. So the guarantee that we can say that the sower would have a seed to sow is because God supplied seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Hallelujah. So that's my first point tonight for us. Aside the many things I've said, that all you have something, and all you have is received. Received, not, you didn't get it from any other place, but from where or from whom? From God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. So this servant, he was given a responsibility. And the responsibility that was given to him, something was emphasized in NKJV. It says, ruler over. Amplify says what? In charge. In charge. And my point here is that when God puts anything in our hands, you know, what did he tell the first man in Genesis chapter 1? I think verse 20. When he talked about subdue the earth. Genesis chapter 1. He says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be what? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. And what? Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the earth, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So all the things that God gave to man here, one of the things God told him to do with those things is to subdue and have dominion over them. So everything that you've received, you have to be in charge, not the thing in charge of you. You know, like we always make the example, you know, God blesses you with a good job, then you now begin to reason, you're coming to church. Now, that new job is now having rule over you. Rather, you should rule over the new job. Hallelujah. So everything that we've received and that we would yet receive, we must have the mindset that we have to be in charge, not the thing in charge of us. For example, God blesses you with a new car. Then you now start receiving new inspiration, just be driving all around. You can't just park the car and just let the car stay, like stay here. But you're just thinking, how does the express look like? How does Oyinbo look like? Now that car is having rule over you. Is there anybody like that? But you get my point. That everything that you have received from God, you must have rule over them. Like your children, they are gifts from God. That's what Psalm says. They are God's heritage. They are your reward. So they are gifts. They are a gift to you, but they are God's heritage. But you must have rule over them. You know, that's why he spoke about Abraham too. It's not your children that will have rule over you. How many of us have watched it? There was one episode of children that have gone. There's one Oyinbo episode like that. One small kid will be shouting at mom, "Mom! No!" Ah. Where's Nigerian mommy slippers? Ah. Slippers. To reset. What can be reset? So your children, you should have rule. See, every gift God has given to you, none must have rule over you. See, you will later understand the implication that if you don't have rule over it, you wouldn't move to the point where I call the grace point of appropriation. But we'll get there. That's the third thing we'll look at today. We said the first one. We said everything that we have received from God. But everything that we've also received and that we would yet receive, we must have rule over them. See, that one is so important that no matter how, you must not be possessed by what you have received. Even the spirit you have received, you have rule. That's why Emmy cannot carry you. We have rule over our sins to bring you back to order. I remember so many years ago, we went for a retreat. And I thought it was the spirit of the old that came upon me. I didn't know it's the new. And I wanted to prophesy. That place has water. My wife is laughing because she was there. Actually, Papito was on that ground. But it was not in that meeting that they were sleeping. And I said, I want to prophesy. I was not rolling. Someone said, bro, hey, oh, me, lo, lo, yo. I was rolling like this. I want to prophesy. My wife was there. I was rolling. They said, hey, prophesy, you are going to the river like this. That's when you don't have rule over. They will just say, alas, he fell. Where did he fall? There. No, that's when young prophet. He's not senior prophet. Or upcoming. Upcoming. Omi the bear upcoming prophet. You know? Even your gifts, your spiritual gifts, you must have rule over them. See, don't before you even put a tag to it, that it is a gift, you need to have rule over it. Spiritual, physical, carnal, mundane, that is a gift. You must have rule over them. There is nothing that you've received that should have rule over you. That's what I'm saying. You are to be in charge. That's why Emmy cannot carry you. No. If you are a child of this house, you know that operated much in the old covenant. And now our spirit is also raised with Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because you are on the direction to making life impacting mistakes when your gifts have rule over you. You won't have a family when your child has rule over you. Tells you, mommy, this is what you should do. No, you don't have children. Even we that we are gift to God, we don't. That's why it says, "Can the clay tell the potter, this is how I want to be? Leave me like." No, you can't mold yourself. So the relationship between what was received or what will be received and the receiver is that the receiver has rule over that which is received or that which is given or that which will be given. So your mind is already at rest that anything God will give you will not possess me. So there is no amount of wealth that God will bring me to that would now begin to control me. There is no amount of anything, position, power, fame. Like, it's a state of mind. And that is your ticket to faithfulness. Because they won't ask the gift to account that how were you spent. No. Is how did you spend the gift? They will ask the receiver. It's the receiver that will give account, not the gift. On judgment day, your gift of prophecy will not stand and be saying, this is how I functioned. No, it's you they will ask, how did you rule over the gift of prophecy? Did you use to destroy lives? Did you use to make life? You will be the one to account. And this is where we find misuse. And then we hide under, you are not under, the influence. No. Nothing must have rule. See, your finances must not have rule over your emotions. Like, the balance is low. No, as in like, all your moods are in the air. That means your finances is having rule over you. When credit alert comes up, you are happy. Debit, you are sad. It has rule over you. You have to deliver yourself. No, if that's the deliverance of money, you have to deliver yourself. Your emotions must not have rule over you. One thing I try to ensure in my own home is that don't allow your emotions have, that one is like even a gateway to hell. Because I've seen someone that has, he allows emotions to be, and he has carried knife that he will kill his brother, like blood brother. So emotions, you can't allow what you have or that has been received to control or have rule over you. So that's the relationship between what is received and the receiver. We can find here that the servant was told to be in charge. He was told to be in charge of the household, not the household to be in charge of him. So everything God has given to you, and learn to take audit. What has God put in my charge? What has God put in my rule? What has God? It's not everything God has put in your rule. You know the things he has put on in your charge. Your wife, not all wives. Even the one with children, that statement, is the village that raises a child. That one of child self is your children, your household. You only advise other children. If they want to hear, they should not hear. You know the things God has put in your charge. And those are the things you should rule over. They were written in your name. Hallelujah. Can we quickly read Mark 13 from verse 34? Then we'll read Luke. I think somebody else should be with the projector manual. I think there should be two people there. Hallelujah. Can we see 33? So it says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. 34. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. I like this, the use of, this one is authority. You have authority over what is given to you. And to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you all, or I say to all, watch. Is that all? Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Maybe we'll come back here. Luke chapter 12, maybe or maybe not. 35. Can you say, I have rule over my life?
I have rule over my life.
I have rule over everything God has given to me. Be in charge. It says, subdue and dominate. Can you go to 36? 37? Okay. It says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will guard himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But notice that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servant, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48. But he who did not know yet, committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. I think this is, just at 48. He says, for everyone to whom much is what is given, from him much will be what required. Now, this takes me to the third point, which we might spend maybe like 10, 15 minutes on. We'll come back here. Can you quickly go to Matthew 24, the verse 48 of that one? 24:48. I know you can't put 45 and 48 together, but can you go to 45? Can you do 45 and 46? Let's just see the blessing of 45. Yeah, thank you. So when the master put the servant in charge of the household, the faithful servant took out of what was given to him to manage, and then he gave it to the fellow servant. That's the them here. Because in verse 48, he was saying that rather than give, 49, rather than give to his servant, this evil servant was beating his fellow servant. Now, let's put three things together. So there is the place of receiving. which I don't want us to maybe go there, maybe how to receive. No. But there's an assumption that we have received. I'm making an assumption. And whatsoever we've received, there is a quiet and silent grace. That's what I can call it. Because a lot of times, the bulk of our energy is spending on how to receive. For example, how can I receive grace for this? How can I receive this kind of opportunity? How can I receive? How can I receive? Receive, receive, receive. And then we tie receiving to an end. Like, because once you have received, it's as though that's like the end of the context or the conversation. So maybe, for example, maybe you're trusting God for something, right? Now you are at that state where you want to ask so that you can receive. So maybe you prayed once or you prayed twice, or regardless of how many times you prayed, but eventually you received. Now a lot of us stop at I have received. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now I'm making an assumption that you have received, but I'm also saying that it's as though the stewardship starts after you have received. Stewardship is once they've allocated it to you, then there was a note that was attached to the gift. In that note, the title is stewardship. Now, a lot of us just get the gift. Now, at times, you know, when you have a breakthrough, don't be very quick not to ask, God, what is the commandment of, or what is the lifestyle of this breakthrough? A lot of you just take the breakthrough. don't let me rhyme with the, you know, from breakthrough you, I don't know. You break out. Taking the breakthrough is literally like God now attentioned you. Like when you say God has answered me, finally God has answered. Actually, is finally God has now started with me. Because you're seeing it as an end. Like pray, receive. So once I have received, on to the next, pray and receive. No, actually, when you've received, there is a journey that, there is a storyline they just started. So a lot of us don't even, we don't ask, what is the lifestyle of this breakthrough? What came with this? Let me just put it that way. God, is it only this gift that came? For example, when God gives a child, it's not just the child that came. Something else came with that gift. Maybe a job, for example. Maybe a job. It's not just, or an opportunity. Or maybe an opportunity to relocate. At times, the receiving is an end in itself for most of us. And that's why the conversation of appropriation does not exist. So he said, that faithful and wise servant, he was able to identify that the gift that he was given to be in charge of has fellow servants that are members of the house. Like Amplify said, they are members of this household. It's not outside the household. That's why I said I need to help the philanthropic ones amongst us. Or people that grew up maybe in an environment where they do Sarah. Do you know Sarah? When you fry akara. We usually eat akara. But don't let us go there. And so, God told us that servant became faithful, one, because he was able to identify that I am a channel to move this gift to the other channels that this gift has to make impact in their life. So rather than the servant eating, he was given. So he was, whatever he was given rule over, the supplies of that house
or the supplies that he was given, he was able to identify his fellow servant. Now, don't forget, they said his fellow servant, not his junior servant or people that are way less than him. He says he was given so that he can spot others to give. You know, like we always say that, let he that doesn't work should not eat, right? Now, he says, let him go and find work. So that what? He might have to give down. Now, I can use this scripture as well to say that that line is also, when he receives, whether it's the wages of his work, it's so that he's also in a place where they can also call him or they can give him the opportunity to be a steward. So when he receives the wages of, you know, a man is due his wages, right? When he receives his wage, at that point, the school of stewardship has called him as well. That you have received these wages so that you are also in a place to spot your fellow servants in this household. Because it's not so that he can eat. They said it's so that he can give. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read something here, then I'll continue my thought. I wrote here, there is a special quiet and silent grace that is usually required of the one who received. I call this the power to appropriate. Now, what is that? See, appropriation is after you have received. See, it's simple. Appropriation is God. This thing that came, how, why, when, how should it be used? You know, I remember so many years ago, whenever I go for negotiations, maybe I need to work on a project, and they say they will pay me X amount of money. The question I always ask first is, what is this money meant for? And at times, I will hear 10% of this money is for you. The remaining 80% is for this, is for this, is for this, is for that. Now, I can choose to not hear that. I can choose to say 100, 100, 100. Yeah, I can choose to. But if I develop my, because I have rule over it. I didn't take my hustling heart there. That, hey, even there was even a time God taught me the way you would not know how to negotiate is when you always put your hustling before everything. Because you would be negotiating your daily bread. Whereas you are working, see, when God puts you in front of an opportunity, don't just be thinking of yourself. So at times, I will use myself as an example. You know, when they say, well, come on, help us do this thing. Then immediately you just start. You can only but calculate what you need. Then you now say you want to collect 15K. Now, the reason why you're collecting 15K for that thing is not that you're humble. It's that all your needs can be summed up to 15. Now, God cannot build an enterprise with you. When you're in front of opportunity, the only thing that comes is, oh, I need to pay this fee. Then you now quickly equate it to the charge. He can't tell you to collect 1 billion. That way, because you don't need 1 billion to meet your needs. So when God told me that thing, I immediately started removing my needs from opportunities, because it's my need plus a need plus a need plus a need plus that needs to be added together. So I now say it's 17 billion, sir. That's the charge. Then I say, what do you need? You're small. You're a young man. What do you need? No. They are fellow servants that I have to give these things. They are fellow. You might not know their name, sir. Akpotawabi. We are plenty that came to your office. He said his fellow. So he represented the fold. See, friends, if you don't think this way, see, there are opportunities that you are shutting off because is far above your needs. So a lot of us don't ask, what is appropriation of this? Because it's 100 we pick. See, the day we start introducing appropriation into what we've received, see, two things you will find out. You will find out that your portion is in it, your own portion is in it, then you will find out that you can do as much as God will require you to do as regards your fellow servants. See, the reason why it will not be enough is because you thought it was 100. The reason you are not seeing it that is enough is because the day it came, it was 100. Like, this is mine. This is mine. He says he was given, the reason they brought him to that opportunity of rulership over the household is so that he can give them food in due season. I will explain that due season. Now, don't forget, we said this them, there is fellow servants, like he said in the later part, and like even said in Amplified, these are his fellow servants in the household. These are no random dudes or the one that can solicit more. And so you are not unstable to know who your servant, your fellow servant is or not. Your fellow servant cannot appear on a timeline. Or maybe somebody looking for urgent 2K. No, that's not your fellow servant. Your fellow servant is those that you can say that this is my brother and my sister that God has created a commonwealth for. For example, we're going to be putting a lot of more energy in the storehouse project, right? Now, imagine now, knowing that the way I'll be negotiating money, when I know that we have a project, I will not go and negotiate my son's school fees. And God say, they've given me the next woman, I'll use that one to run. No, I would say, hey, sir, it's 15M. I would say, they would be like, 15M, why 15M? No, it's 15M. Because 40M is for storehouse project. Now, if you don't believe, these things will keep hanging. Yes. See, when you say he will give us the wealth of the Gentiles, is this heart that we can go take the portions that have been allocated for us? If you go for yourself, there is no assured portion that you will come back and say that you brought anything for. They will not greet you, oyoyo. Yes, you went for yourself. See, I can tell someone here, see, if you tell God, God, the reason I need this job is so that storehouse project, I will be one of the person that will be, maybe it's my one pack of Maggi. That will be. See, you will get that job because of just that reason. He says he would have a job so that he can what? Give. He can give them, his fellow servants. See, let me tell you, see, prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Say prosperity. Prosperity. The reason is hanging. Eh? Many a times is because of this. When you think prosperity in yourself, it won't answer. When you think in yourself, but when you think in line of where God has established you, you will see increase in that order. So appropriation is that place where you are able to receive God's counsel on how, number one, to have rule over that which you have received. Number two, to be able to identify with your fellow servant or your brethren in this case, to give. And most importantly, understanding the seasons. That's like the third thing. He says he was giving them food in due season. And this one is even the simplest part. This due season. You know, when he spoke about, you can go there in Acts. When he spoke about the church, where he said, and nobody lacked anything. Because everyone had to give. And the people that also lacked, their needs were met daily. Can you just find? When you find, let me know. So this is a grace to pray for. That whenever we come to the place of plenty, supply, wealth, abundance, we have the appropriate grace to appropriate. See, if you don't have grace to appropriate, you will eat all that you have received. And you will now figure out that it's not enough. See, that's one shocking thing about when you don't have grace to appropriate. Ikoleto. I mean, like Koleto, like it won't be enough for you. It won't be like it won't be enough. If you look, the story we looked at on Sunday evening, that Pastor Yemi taught, that flour and the small oil is not even enough for the woman. So if you think in yourself, it won't be enough. It won't be enough. It won't be enough. And one of the things we learned is everything that God provides for his people will be enough. He says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It's okay. You can go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 and 46 together. So the deep season is our ability to key into every initiative that God initiates amongst us. Now, the storehouse project is one. Now, there are some that are not necessarily titled. Is when a brother finds another brother or another sister in need. That's a due season. That's the right season. So the wrong season is, the Lord help you. You know, that's what he said. He said, if you have and you can give, don't tell him God be with you. No, he says you rather meet that need. So the brother came and says, I want to do X, Y, Z is 50K. And you have 150. Now, that's due season to appropriate that supply that you have. To say, you have a need of 50K. I can spare. Not borrow. You have to go. Not borrow. I can spare. And even that spare, you have to say it graciously, not as though he's a junior fellow servant. You know, God has raised us to help people like you. No. God did not raise you. He didn't raise you. He didn't raise you. See, friends, we would only come into abundance when we can carry all of us in our hearts. Some of us, you are thinking you can't be blessed beyond what you've been blessed. It's because the requirement of that blessing, you've locked it just to yourself. If you can only but open it up. Let me give you one. I tell you, you might be thinking, the house I will collect is for me and my wife. That's the reason why you can't think duplex. You can't think you can have like 10 rooms. Because you are not thinking you can't think of, those we need to house now before they get their own. You can't. So God will just hold every 4-bedroom and above. Your searches is not going there. It's because you are myself and my wife. That's what the widow said. Myself and my son. And we know what always end it is to eat it and die. So you can see that there is no life behind just your needs. No, it doesn't bring much to God. It doesn't bring much to God. And so the due season is that time that opportunity comes to light. Like the storehouse project, this is the due season. We have received a commandment from our Father in the Lord, from our apostle, right? This is the, see, if you are saying storehouse project, you have come like 2 years after now, you are an evil person. You are an evil person. And don't forget how I started. There is none that has not been given. See, you can choose to say you don't have hope. That one is is like your choice. Honestly, like you can choose to say you don't have. But I want to appeal to you by the mercies of God. Don't say you don't have, so that you can truly see what you have. Don't say it's small. It's just for me. It's just for my transport fare, and then I'll trek the remaining days of the. No. Don't think in you. Don't think in you. Now, see, the buffer, because a lot of people say, oh, so how can I manage recklessness? You will see who was reckless. Who was reckless at the end of the day? The evil servant. What did he do? The evil servant. He ate. From eating, he now knew that they always eat in club. I can't be eating. He will not begin to associate and identify the wrong fellow servant. Now, he now knew that they are drunkards. See, the money you don't want to spend for your brother in Christ, you will spend it for your brother in Satan. Yeah. See, money is meant to be spent. Now choose this day where you will spend it. No, I'm serious though. I always tell people, see, there. I always pray that I would not have the money I will spend on sickness. Now, this is the reason. Because, see, when you say you have. See, I prefer divine health and sound health than I can afford my sickness. No. You don't want to hear that the scan of this thing or the diagnosis of this thing is 17 million. No, don't wish if I just had 20 million. No. That's actually a poverty mentality, but that is also entrenched with a demon. That one is worse than the normal poverty. Thinking that if I have a headache that is worth 12 million, let me just have 13 million in my account. No. You are not a child of God thinking that way. It says the gift of God make it rich, or the blessings of God make it rich, and what? Hath no sorrow. That's the kind of blessing you have. Say, that's the kind of blessing I have. It makes one rich. It makes one blessed. It makes one faithful. 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 What's faithfulness? Faithfulness is that you have rule over what you've received. You can quickly spot your fellow. You can identify with your fellow servant. You can say, God, you gave me this for this. You know, like we always say, when he does it for one, he has done it for what? For all. That's also what we are saying. I can identify with my fellow servants, my brethren. I do not exalt myself and say, oh, God has lifted me up. So no. I see them in my blessing. Probably you will see yourself less in your blessing. And then I can quickly spot the right season, the right opportunities. I can quickly plug in. See, delayed obedience is no longer obedience. So if I come and later say, that 50K, the guy has failed the exam. Or the opportunity for the exam has closed. Oh, this thing need that. No, it's not needed again. Hallelujah. So that's who a faithful steward is. See, don't ever forget that you are a steward. And thank you. And your ability to receive more is entrenched on being faithful in a little. So you can see that faithfulness is not when will not be demanded when it's now plenty. So, regardless of the size, you can practice those three things. It doesn't shock you and it makes your head to grow knots. You know, at times, the first day you collect a salary you've never collected before, He can have rule over you. He can have rule over you. So before you receive a higher salary, plan. Me now, I've planned. There was a day I read somewhere. I think they were missionaries. Their mission, I don't know if they are late, but I read this somewhere. It's been a while. So the wife and the man came together and said, we know we'll be blessed, but let's quickly determine the percentage that we should cap our own needs. So for example, maybe they were being blessed with maybe 1 million, for example. And maybe their needs, everything they can call needs, is 500K. So they have 500K left. But he says, I know we will be richly blessed. So if the blessing now hits 10 million, she will not quickly say it's because it's 50% we were doing before. So it will not be 50% of 10 million again. There will not be 5 million needs. No, he now says, let's quickly cap our own need, so that we will quickly be able to know that God is increasing in the order of the other things he wants to do, not in the order of our own needs. So he said that's how they put like a peg. He says, our needs, this is everything we can. It's not that I'll just be roaming around Jumia, be looking for what I don't have in my house. No. That's restlessness. You'll be, what have I not bought? What have I not bought? No. That's that. You are not a child of God. So they pegged it. And they said, we know that we will be stupendously blessed. So let's quickly put this thing. They even try to say, okay, we know it's currently at this level. Okay, even if it will go beyond, let's imagine all the children are in school, this, let's imagine it won't pass this. So any other thing that increases in the order of their finances, that's what appropriation is. That's what appropriation is, being able to appropriate everything that God brings your way. You know where your own stop. It's not that you put your own on auto run. As God is increasing, you are increasing. No, that's not appropriation. That's not appropriation. Can we give God praise? You know, one prayer I might want you to pray is, we don't even have all the time to pray that prayer here. I remember I prayed that prayer for many years. And I know what that prayer did. You know, one of the things I had always thought before was that when God shoots you up, and it's so high that even you can't imagine whether there's another height above it. I found out that with appropriation, there are more grounds to still break. And so it's okay to pray that God can unlock the grace to appropriate his blessings in your life. Even the ones that are yet to come, that you are ready and prepared. You know, it's okay to go back home and pray that, you don't want to be the one that you have the ability to spend all the resources of God. Like you have unsatiable wants. That as God increases you, they increase. No, you don't want to be that kind of person. That God is afraid that your needs are so untamed that they are uncontrollable. And you can see that this is beyond the servant that was given the opportunity to have rule over it. It's like he's a channel to pass on the blessings to the end channels. Like there are other channels. So he's not the only one. So please go back home. Pray. Pray that God, you know, you would master appropriation. You would master it. You will not just know how to receive. No. You will not just receive and spend. You will receive and appropriate. So that everything God has given to you, you would know that they were well disbursed. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We're grateful for this time. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen.